Buzz, your global radio network. And now, it's time for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show with your host, Ann Wooten Taylor. Good morning, my friend.
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm real good. Good. Had a really wonderful week. Wonderful week.
Awesome. What happened?
Well, let's see. Let's go back to, wow, just had some really great shows, starting with last Sunday night. Well, last Sunday, the Boomerang Radio Show, I really enjoyed that. Then Sunday night, had an excellent time. I was solo on my Sunday Night Gold Show. But then Monday, I had Mad Mike on with me, hosting Monday Night Madness, because the professor, he was out on assignment. But then skipping to Wednesday, had a magnificent interview with this fabulous, I mean, just major promoter of Southern Soul music. Young lady out of Alabama. She goes by Ms. B, Ms. B's production. Her name is Bessie Stokes. And she was on, and we had a blast. I don't know how much you are into Southern Soul or not, but you take artists like Tucker and Big Rob, Reggie P, even going back to Bobby Blue Bland, Mel Waiters, Marvin Cease. She's been on stage and has promoted all of these people. Mm-hmm. Just amazing, amazing stuff. So I might be taking a trip to Alabama pretty soon to meet her.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. Just a fabulous, fabulous person. And she'll be back on with me this coming Wednesday. You know, I have a new show. Well, it's fairly new. And it's called, what is it called? Oh, Cultural Excellence. Cultural Excellence in Music and Art, Entertainment, Business and Education. And this was Cultural Excellence in Music and Art and Entertainment segment of that. So it was just a great time. And then on Thursday, I had Mr. Vail Omar. I'm not sure whether you're familiar with him or not. He is, matter of fact, if you want to hear someone that sounds like Sam Cooke, you can close your eyes and it sounds just like Sam Cooke. And he does a lot of Sam Cooke covers, and he does, he has his own original songs too. Just great stuff, great stuff. Well, anyway, he had a young lady on, and get this. I had a chance to interview Sam Cooke's granddaughter.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
No, not at all, not at all. And obviously her mom is Sam Cooke's daughter. Now the mom would have been on also, but the mom had a stroke and she's in the hospital, so we're praying for her. And so the station's going to contribute to their GoFundMe page. But just a beautiful lady. Their mom has a great voice. Their daughter has a great voice. It was just fabulous stuff.
And this is Sam Cooke's family.
Yes.
Wow. How did you manage that?
Oh, my good. Through Vail Omar. Vail Omar is a, like I said, he's a gentleman that covers Sam Cooke. So he knows the family.
So you got friends in high places.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say. You got friends. Well,
I'm not bragging or anything, but
no. Why you just going to Alabama and all that to hang out?
Yeah, just to hang out. Just to hang out. Yeah, yeah. No, it's just networking, you know, and getting the word out. And we don't have many people that I know that listen. We have people in Georgia, Tennessee. Let's see, Florida. I know of. But Alabama, I don't recall any of our listeners. Perhaps we do have some, but not that I know of in Alabama. So we're going to go down there and spread the news in Alabama too. We're going to do that.
So are you going to be broadcasting live when you're in Alabama?
No. What I'm going to do, I'm going to have someone. I'm just going to take a short mini vacation, and I'll have someone to take over the station for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're going to shirk your duties to go have fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Shirk my duties.
Okay.
Yeah. You know I picked up on that, don't you?
No, what I know is you clown when somebody else has to be off work. But it's okay when it's you that wants to go have a good time. How, the rest of us, you know, we have stuff to do.
Yeah, well, how often do I take off as much the rest of like you and Miss CC? How often do I take off as much as you ladies?
I know you did not.
Yes, I did.
I would know. How would I know that, William? I'm not with you 24 hours a day.
Oh, you know I'm on. I'm on the radio.
I know this morning you were off, and I had to contact you several times to get some stuff I needed. Yeah.
Oh, see, I can't leave the house. Is that what you said?
That's what you just said about me and Miss CC.
I know.
And we cannot leave the house.
I didn't say that.
We have to be tied to the radio at your beck and call. That's what you had said.
Yeah, right.
What you had said.
Like you two are going for that. You wouldn't even go for it.
Nope.
So don't even start. Don't even start. Anyway, let's switch the subject. The heat. Oh my goodness. I don't know what it feels like there in Arkansas, but it has been tremendously hot. You know, I thought I was in California. I said, now I thought I left this hot, hot heat, but my goodness, it's 90 degrees already.
Yeah. Well, I think, was it yesterday, day before, the thermostat for the car said it was 109.
Whoa. Oh,
like that's too hot. And that might just have been the heat index. You know, I don't know the difference between an actual temperature and the heat index. To me, if the thermometer says it's 100 and something, it's 100 and something. But okay. I know that the, you know, meteorologists have some type of science. It's been pretty hot when the water, major bodies of water, like the waters around Florida, get to be 100 degrees.
That's crazy. And you know,
it's boiling.
Oh my
God. Water boils at 100 degrees.
And look what it does to the environment, to the wildlife. And not only that, the fish.
Yeah, the fish are dying. I mean, number one, you're basically cooking them. But then number two, you know, there's so much carbon soaked up in the oceans. The fish can't breathe. They breathe oxygen too, folks.
Yes.
So, you know, people are wondering, you know, why fish keep coming up on beaches dead. That's because they can't breathe.
They can't breathe. Yeah, stupid. You know, we all need it. Look, none of us could survive that. I mean, you know, that is absolutely a necessity of life to be able to breathe. Shucks.
We're killing everything. I mean, we're not just hurting us. We are killing everything, on the planet. And you would think common sense would kick in and say, stop, just stop doing all the stuff that's hurting you.
If you had common sense, you would think so. But see, but you still have those climate, deniers. They're saying, oh, there's no such thing as global warming. Man, look. And can you believe it that we're paying some of these people $175,000 plus to lie to us? I mean, it is absolutely magnificent. I'm angry too, Ann. I'm angry.
Why?
I'm angry. These fools in Florida had the nerve. I mean, and they're going to teach our children this garbage that we benefited from, black people benefited from slavery. I know you heard that.
William, okay.
I'm upset.
I know you're upset. It upsets me too, but I'm trying not to go there yet.
Okay. Okay.
It's the topic that we're going to be discussing on the show today is heavy enough because we're supposed to be talking about maternal and infant mortality rates. So, that is bad enough given our current environment. I mean, before the Supreme Court, you know, decided that, we're gonna just overturn, you know, Roe versus Wade, that stare decisis thing doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There she is. Hey, Dr. Miles.
Good morning.
Good morning. But before, you know, we got to the point where we were, you know, not allowing women to have abortions, maternity and infant mortality rates were high. And so now they are just that much worse. So I'm already upset. Okay. And you want to tell me something else to make me upset about what's going on in Florida? No, save it for tomorrow.
Okay, bye, Ann.
Bye, William. Good morning, everybody. See how William likes to get me all hyped up unnecessarily? Y'all saw that, right?
I'm doing my job. I'm doing my job.
You doing your job?
Bye again.
You're not happy. You're not happy unless you're doing your job, William. That's it. Get me all upset. Well, today's topic ought to be one of those things that gets us all a little bit upset. It gets us all to the point where we want to be activists. And at the same time, it's going to be a treat because it's rare. You know, I interview people from all over the world, honestly. I mean, people in, you know, the Caribbean and places like that. So it's a treat when I get to interview somebody right here in Arkansas, with me. And she's a good friend of my sister's. So, I am so, happy to welcome to the show, Dr. Angela Miles. She's an Arkansas native from Jacksonville, Arkansas. She's an obstetrician, gynecologist, and has been for 24 years. And she's currently employed by Saline Memorial Hospital in Benton, Arkansas. We share an alma mater. She's, a graduate of the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville. That's where she did undergrad. I went to law school there. So it's my alma mater too. Cool thing about Fayetteville, if you've never been there, is everybody who graduates, whether you do undergraduate school or graduate school, they basically engrave your name in the sidewalk. So when you go to visit the school, you can find your name in the year that you, that it was put there. And it's usually put there the year afterwards. So we went on a school tour, for my oldest son, because he'll be entering college next fall, not this fall, but next year. And we went and found my name from when I graduated and, from law school. And it was a pretty cool experience. I had to take a picture of it. So, I'm wondering if Dr. Miles ever went back to find her name on the sidewalk there. But not only that, she's graduated right here from UAMS, University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. That's where she got her medical degree and she did her residency at Franklin Square Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. Her professional goals are to educate and serve the community in a non-discriminatory and ethical manner. Praise the Lord, because we need that. And her specialties are minimally invasive surgery and obstetrical care. Welcome to the show. I've heard so many good things about you for years from my sister. How are you, lady?
I am wonderful. Good morning. And I must apologize for my tardiness. I think I'm computer illiterate over here.
It's not you. It's not you. First of all, this is technology. So that technical difficulty thing, it happens. I mean, there have been times where it happened on our end and we've had to cancel the show because we couldn't get stuff to work on our end. So we understand. We're just glad to have you here. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. So I love the fact that you're from, right here in Arkansas and people next week, because our show, replays here in the Little Rock area about a week later. So next week, people right here in the Little Rock area, which includes Ben, Jacksonville, Celine, all that, will get to hear you. And I think it's important to hear from a doctor, especially since we're living in one of those states that have really restrictive, you know, abortion laws and how it's affecting our maternal and infant mortality rates. But tell us first, a little bit about you. What made you decide to be a doctor, especially in OBGYN?
You know, this is the craziest thing. You remember Bill Cosby growing up?
Yes. Yeah. Girl, I wanted to be Claire. That's why I'm a lawyer. I wanted to be Claire.
See there? You wanted to be Claire and I wanted to be Bill. So girl, there we go.
We come from the same cloth. That's right. I wanted to be a corporate lawyer like Claire growing up. That's how I ended up wanting to go to law school. Girl, and you wanted to be like Bill Cosby delivering babies.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So what is that like? Because I can only imagine the feeling of, you know, that birthing process. It's one thing to be the one carrying the baby for 9 months and, you know, nurturing it, pushing it out when it's time. But then being on the other side of things, because you've had both experiences. What's it like?
I think it's exhilarating. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. It's kind of rough between the hours of 12 a.m. and 6 a.m.
Look, for you, I can imagine, but look, it was rough going into labor at 12 a.m. and giving birth at 2:30 a.m.
That's right. So, but you know, it's such a blessing to be a part of these women's lives. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for every obstetrician. I know all practices do not practice like our group, but we really try to put our best foot forward and try to be there for our patients. I know that we all can't be there for every delivery, but you best believe it. I'm there for 95% of my patients as far as delivery, because that moment is so special. You've been nurturing that baby, that mom, mm-hmm. for the last 9 months, and I want to be there.
You know, my baby, the second one came so fast, that the nurses tried to cross my legs and keep me from having the baby. I'm like, he is coming out. It's not happening. They told me if I ever got pregnant again, that I need to go to the hospital as soon as it, you know, I feel the pain, because he came so quickly. It was like 2.5 hours. I forgot what they call it. Well, you know the name.
Precipitous delivery.
Yes, precipitous mm-hmm. delivery. That's what. And my grandmother warned me, you know, that she had her babies pretty quickly, but I didn't know what she meant until it happened to me. We really thought he was going to be born in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. That's how, you know, I mean, because I couldn't walk. I was on the floor. They had to come get me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I can imagine what it's like for you having to get up. Because by the time my doctor got there, the baby was born.
Oh my God.
It was already there. But you know, you get to see, you know, you talked about, you know, a non-discriminatory practice, which is a blessing. Cause I never got to be your patient, but you and my former OBGYN used to work at the same practice, Dr. Lee.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Dr. Lee. She is wonderful.
She is. She was my doctor. I don't know what it is, but my doctors keep retiring. Dr. Selby retired, then I went to Dr. Lee, and now then she retired. So now, so we're totally new again. But yeah, Lisa told me you worked there, but I never got to meet you. But, you know, it was nice. It's nice being able to go to a doctor, feel comfortable in the environment, the setting that you're in. But still, here in Arkansas, especially, and all over the country, we still have really bad rates of maternal and infant mortality. So for folks who don't even understand those terms,
can't hear you. Can you hear me? All right. Mortality. Mortality is basically equivalent to death. The mortality rate for infants in this country is about 6.9% per 1,000. Can you hear me? I want to make sure you can hear me. Okay, perfect. And for our mothers, the mortality rate is approximately 6 to 8%. I'm sorry, 33% per 100,000 births. And it is different between races. It is, I guess, unfortunate that minorities and African Americans tend to have higher mortality rates for various reasons, of course. But it's about 11.2% per 100,000 births for African Americans in comparison to our Caucasian counterparts, where the mortality rate is about 4.8%.
And I can hear your guests, but I can't hear you. Okay. Okay, well, you have to fix that on your end.
Oh, okay. Tell her to define morbidity while I log in and log out.
All right. Are you ready?
Can you hear me?
Okay, so morbidity. Morbidity is a specific illness or a medical condition that someone has. I guess some examples would be if you have seizures, asthma, say if you're receiving a blood transfusion, if you undergo a hysterectomy, if you have a stroke, renal failure, those types of things are what morbidity is called.
No, I can't. I can't, Ann. Right. Let's see, you're, okay. I see your mic is unmuted. I don't know what the technical problem is on your end.
I'll try to log out and log in again.
Okay, because earlier in the broadcast, we could hear you loud and clear.
Okay, she says she can hear me now.
Okay.
No, I can't.
Okay. All right. So maternal mortality, like stated before, is about 33 out of 100,000 live births. And basically that's mom dying from some form of medical condition during labor and delivery or shortly thereafter. The causes of early maternal mortality include ectopic pregnancies, miscarriages or induced abortions or elective abortions, which we know at this point is very limited currently in the United States.
Hold on, doctor. Let's see if we can get this fixed.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she was loud and clear. In the beginning of the broadcast, she was loud and clear.
Yes,
I don't. Yes. Let's see what happens now. Okay. Ann? No. We can't hear you. Okay. I don't believe there's anything that we can do on our end. But anyway, doctor, would you continue the dialogue until we can get Ann connected?
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
So we discussed early pregnancy maternal mortality. Now there's on the flip side also a late cause of maternal mortality. Those things usually include hypertensive disorders such as chronic hypertension, preeclampsia, or pregnancy-induced high blood pressure. It also includes hemorrhages, infections, as well as embolism or blood clots. And that could be a blood clot in your leg that breaks off and give you a blood clot in your lungs or to, unfortunately, sometimes to your head and give you a stroke.
Maybe we burnt her computer out, you know, with the heated discussion we had earlier about what was going on out here in the universe. But Dr. see if you can continue the dialogue, whatever you want to say. You know, I think, let's say, 4 leading causes of infant mortality. Did you go over that?
Not yet, but I will.
Yes, please.
Okay, so infant death is caused by congenital malformations such as cardiovascular issues, low birth weight also is a big factor in infant mortality, as well as a syndrome called SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome, which is basically an unexplained sudden death of an infant.
Okay. And that's called SIDS. I've heard of that before. And Anne had mentioned earlier in the broadcast that it was high before, but even, I guess, because of the Supreme Court decision, how has that increased the infant mortality death?
Well, we haven't seen an impact just yet, but I'm sure it's coming. I guess it affected my practice most. I didn't do elective inductions of abortions. But if it's needed for the sake of the mom, say she has a health condition where, she'll die in the case of a childbirth, then at that point, yes, I would do an abortion within the first 12 weeks of pregnancy to save mom's life. But currently I've been running into that issue and have run into it probably about 2 months ago, where I had a patient who, come in with a condition, and she was pregnant, and, unfortunately had to send her all the way to Illinois to get an abortion.
Wow. So it's not allowed in your state?
No, it's not.
And where are you?
I'm in Arkansas.
In Arkansas. Okay. Wow. Unbelievable. Now, I know this is something like most times, is it something that can, I don't know whether this is the right question or not, can be prevented, or are there any preventative measures that you would advise to all moms early in their pregnancy to maybe, I don't know, or is this just something that always, it just happens?
Well, I always recommend early and consistent prenatal care. We typically see women probably around 8 weeks pregnant. When you get that first positive pregnancy test, which usually is around the 5th week of pregnancy, you know, you miss that first cycle. And, if you have regular cycles, please go out, get a urine pregnancy test, or call your doctor to come in for a quick nurse's visit to get either a urine or a blood pregnancy test to see if you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. And as far as prenatal care, that is the key factor in preventing maternal mortality. So for my patients, I typically see them once a month up until they reach about 30 weeks. And then at 30 weeks, I start seeing them more frequently, roughly about every 2 weeks. And then that last month from 36 weeks to birth, I start seeing them once a week. And that's just for a normal standard pregnancy, no complications with the pregnancy nor with mom. However, if the mother has, say, a condition like high blood pressure or diabetes, then a lot of those pregnancies are seen once to twice a week, and they're also sent to a high-risk specialist or maternal fetal medicine doctor so they can be co-managed.
Okay. Now, other than, let's say, you say high blood pressure or diabetes, are there any other warning signs that a mom should look out for? I understand that they should have regular visits anyway. But are there any other warning signs that you can think of or you know about?
Well, with diabetes, it's sort of, there's no warning signs really in pregnancy. if you weren't pregnant, of course, you would say, you know, increased thirst, but increased thirst goes sort of along with pregnancy, so you can't really use that in pregnancy, but it's standard across the board. If they have risk factors like family history of diabetes, we'll get early gestational diabetes screening roughly around anywhere from 16 to 18 weeks. And then we will repeat that once again, somewhere between 24 and 28 weeks. As far as signs or symptoms of high blood pressure, as you know, blood pressure tends to be the silent killer. So a lot of times you have women coming in and they have no symptoms whatsoever. However, if you do have symptoms, the symptoms typically are a headache. You might have blurred vision. You might have pain in the right upper part of your abdomen. You might be seeing spots. Or if you're just not generally feeling well, I would advise you to either go and get your blood pressure taken at the store or with your obstetrician.
Okay. I'm thinking, like preventative measures and things like that. And what would you advise, let's say, I'm not exactly sure what questions to ask, but what would you advise early on in the pregnancy to sort of, circumvent or maybe even stop or avoid this, this horrible situation?
As a society, we have to do better. I noticed with talking with a lot of women, we, especially as African Americans, do not know exactly what healthy eating is. Some of us do. I'll give it to us, but most do not. If you think about the grocery store, when you go around the edges of the grocery store, you know, you have your fresh fruits and vegetables, you have your meats, you have your dairy, and then you have the things all in between. The things that's in between the aisle are usually man-made. For example, bread. That is a carbohydrate. Flour and sugar is poisonous to the body.
Mm-hmm.
So all these man-made things that we consume, drink, eat, causes harm to our body, and that's why a lot of us develop diabetes.
Okay.
So if we can, you know, stick to the fresh fruits and vegetables and meats, we would probably be a much healthier society, and there would be less morbidity and mortality from just diabetes and high blood pressure in general.
So if I hear you correctly, you're saying that your diet can contribute a lot to like even infant mortality or illnesses and things of that nature. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, most definitely. You have to understand that those two health conditions, high blood pressure and diabetes, causes the majority of preterm deliveries. Preterm deliveries are linked to early infant mortality because the lungs are typically the last thing to mature on a baby.
Hmm.
The maturity roughly is totally mature around 35 or more weeks. And so if we have to, for some reason, intervene in that pregnancy and deliver that baby early, then we're running the risk of the baby having breathing issues, going to the NICU, or the neonatal intensive care unit for days, not only days, maybe even months, to help save the life of that child. So yes, our diet really affects us. I also would recommend incorporating regular exercise into your diet. you know, that helps decrease your glucose level. It pushes the sugar that we consume into your muscles so it can be used as energy. So healthy eating and exercise coupled will help decrease the infant as well as maternal mortality.
I know Ann posted a question on the board. Is that condition known as, is it preeclampsia?
Yeah, preeclampsia, it is one of the forms of high blood pressure in pregnancy. It can be lethal, and it's a very serious condition. There's two forms of preeclampsia. There's mild, and then there is severe. And we have specific criteria to delineate one from another. With mild preeclampsia, you usually can get that pregnancy to roughly about 37 weeks and safely deliver the baby. Severe preeclampsia, you know, that's a tough one. We would love for that pregnancy to get around 34 weeks along before we intervene, but sometimes it's so bad we have to deliver the baby before then. There are measures that we can take to help decrease the infant mortality in that situation. There is a medicine that some women might know called magnesium citrate that we can, magnesium sulfate that we can give through the IV to help speed up the, magnesium citrate is given to prevent seizures with preeclampsia. The blood pressure, the whole condition can get so severe that women can have seizures and die from it. So we give that medicine to prevent seizures and to help with the neural stability of the baby. You may have heard of or even know people with cerebral palsy. That's one of those neurological conditions that can result from preterm delivery. So that medicine will help. And the other thing that we give to help speed up lung maturity is a steroid called betamethasone. Another steroid we can give is called dexamethasone that speeds up the lung maturity of a baby.
What's the, are babies more vulnerable earlier in the pregnancy or later in the pregnacy?
Vulnerable.
As far as we talk about the mortality of a baby. I mean, is it the chances of the baby surviving? Is it greater of the when later in the pregnancy, or I guess
I got you.
Right.
Children that are born earlier and children that are born with low birth weight contribute to a significant amount of infant mortality.
Wow.
Let me give you an example. Roughly around 22 weeks pregnant, the baby weighs about 500 grams, which is equivalent to about 1 pound, maybe slightly over.
Okay.
If that baby is born at that point, 86% of those children will die within the first 28 days of life.
Wow.
Even with all our technology. So yes, if the baby is born early and it has low birth weight, its mortality increases significantly.
Can you discuss the reasons for the USA highest maternal mortality rate?
Most definitely. There is an increase in chronic medical conditions, just like the ones we discussed before, the hypertension and the diabetes. So that's one cause. Another cause is women nowadays tend to have babies later in life. Believe it or not, a lady is considered elderly or geriatric, or as we call it, advanced maternal age at the age of 35. Mm. I understand women are doing their thing, getting their education. I'm totally for it. But just know the longer that we live, it increases our incidence of having chronic hypertension and diabetes, and then we go into a pregnancy, and that just causes us to be quote unquote high risk at that point. And then lastly, as far as why our mortality rate is higher than other developing countries is our healthcare inequalities. Not everybody have access to healthcare. I know, you know, we have the Obamacare, but I have had patients who have come in and they just do not have any resources. And so our team tends to work with them to hopefully get them started on Medicare or Medicaid, and I'm willing to see them until they do so.
Wow. Now, at what age does it become just way too dangerous to really, I mean, you're risky or more risky for a woman to get pregnant or have a baby.
I'm telling you, after that, not saying that you can't have a baby after 35, you definitely can. You can have a healthy pregnancy. But at that elderly age, your risk of congenital abnormalities of your baby, and like I said, having one of these chronic health conditions definitely increase your risk. But I'm never going to put a age where I say, don't try to get pregnant if you really and truly want to have a baby.
Okay. Now, let's say you're at a more advanced age. 35 doesn't sound like old to me, right? But let's say you're 35, 40, whatever it is. Would you see that patient more often? And what type of advice would you give that patient coming in to see you?
Well, I definitely will see that patient more often. And like I've mentioned before, they're considered a high-risk pregnancy. That means they will be co-managed with a high-risk specialist or advanced maternal fetal medicine doctor. Typically around 32 to 34 weeks, we would start doing extra testing of the baby in the office. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure that they know how to do kit counts or perceive their pregnancy as okay, as far as after they eat, how many kicks you should have in the following hour after that. But you know, like I said, if you want to have a baby, definitely do it. It can be done at most ages. I'm not going to say all, but most. You just have to co-manage those pregnancies with a high-risk specialist.
Wow. One other thing, let me ask this. Anne actually asked this question, and I believe it's high blood pressure medication. Is that what you meant, Anne? Can women take high blood pressure medication while pregnant?
Most definitely. First of all, if you have high blood pressure and you have a positive pregnancy test, I did mention before, we usually see you around 8 weeks pregnant, but for those women, you need to call your obstetrician as soon as possible to get in, because some blood pressure medicine is not allowed in pregnancy. Mm. So yes, you can take blood pressure medicine. We'll typically get you switched over to a beta blocker like labetalol. We might put you on Procardia, which is a calcium channel blocker that's safe in pregnancy, or you'll be put on a medicine called methyldopa, and that's one of the older ones. We don't use that one quite as often anymore, but typically either labetalol, a medicine that you typically take about twice a day, or we'll put you on the Procardia medicine that you can take once a day.
Mm. What other advice would you like to share with the, let's see, okay, Ann was asking, do medicines like labetalol have negative impacts on the fetus?
No, it does not. Mm. Thank God. That's why we use it. It's safe in pregnancy.
Okay.
It's safe.
Yeah. And say you have a patient that she's gotten pregnant, but prior to that, she was on a lot of, maybe two or three, four different types of medication unrelated to this, the dangers that say since she was diagnosed with something else before she got pregnant, but now she's taking, she's gotten pregnant, right?
Right.
And so I'm just thinking about some medications that you would have her to stop taking because it could be harmful to the fetus.
Right. One that I can think of offhand is captopril. Those are prill medicines. They're like what we call ACE inhibitors. They are harmful to the pregnancy, and we advise them to stop the ACE inhibitors also.
Well, what are they used for, and how are they harmful?
Of course, ACE inhibitors are used to decrease your blood pressure. And as far as the harm to the baby, it can cause cardiovascular abnormalities in that pregnancy.
Wow. So I can see the need for prenatal care, and I can also see the problem with not having adequate resources or insurance to take care of that. Do you advise exercising for a woman who's pregnant?
Most definitely. You know, when you go into labor, the easy part of labor is the contracting part. You know, I know some people might not say it's easy. Well, if you get an epidural, you don't feel anything and you don't have to do anything. The marathon is the pushing, which can last up to 3 hours, if you're unfortunate. So I do recommend exercise to get your endurance up. I don't recommend, exercises that, put tension on your abdomen, like sit-ups. I don't recommend that. But I do recommend like speed walking or just walking, strength exercises such as, leg lifts, you know, lifting weights as far as with your arms. Make sure you stay well hydrated when you do, but, when you do, start exercising, don't go all ham, at first. You have to build yourself up, to a certain point, and then, you know, hopefully things will go well, during the pushing process in your labor.
I'm glad you said it because I was going to ask about walking, and that's something. And also, would you say now they should do that every day, 2 or 3 times a day, 4 times? I mean, not a day, a week or so.
Right. So, it's recommended that all people get about 2.5 hours of exercise a week. If you split that up into 20 to 30 minutes every other day, you'll get your exercise in for the week.
Okay. And you would advise it, don't overdo it, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, should women be their own advocates and patient navigators to protect themselves and their babies?
Definitely women should be advocates for themselves, to protect themselves and baby. I say ask questions. I'm always an open book as much as possible to my patients. Mm-hmm. I know some docs want to get in the room, get out. That's ideal. But some patients do require more attention. I just ask that, especially for my minority women, that we need to ask more questions. Come in with a list, put it in your iPhone, your Android, bring it in, and please always be an advocate for yourself and others. I always say that you are your best advocate. So, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just like in any type of business and selecting a service or whether would you recommend that, let's say you, a woman has her own doctor, but let's say they're looking for one. How would they, tips for choosing an OB / GYN for normal and high risk pregnancy?
Okay. So my main tip is Google. The internet is full of advice. look at the reviews of that physician. I know everybody have different opinions on physicians, and you know, every physician isn't for everybody.
Right.
So, you know, just Google, ask around, you know, talk to your primary care doc. They usually have heard something from somebody about different OBGYNs. Mm-hmm. So I just say, ask around, always ask questions. Just don't pick someone that you know, just don't close your eyes and pick someone.
Yeah, just walk down the street. You say, oh, there's a doctor's office. Let me try it out, right?
Right. Don't do that at all.
I guess, yeah, because you have an MD in front of your name doesn't mean that you know exactly what you're doing. Oh, my goodness. What other advice would you give? We have a few minutes left. I would say maybe 3 or 4 or 5 things that you would advise women do. And I'm sure you've covered some of them during this interview. But some things, some vital tips that you would give that mom or that, the mother-to-be on how to take care of themselves. We talked about exercise. You talk about eating right with their proper diet? Or what are some other things that you would advise?
I think the main thing from an OBGYN standpoint is please follow what we ask. You can question it, mm-hmm. but please follow what we ask. I have plenty of women who's out there who doesn't take their prenatal vitamins. That's OB 101. Mm. The American diet is typically not well balanced, so you have to couple that with the essential vitamins and nutrients that a baby needs. For example, folic acid is one of those nutrients that we need to make sure that the spinal cord is well formed in a baby. Women who have twins need extra folic acid. So it's important that you would follow what we say. I do have women who are anemic. I know iron pills cause constipation, but you have to get some form of stool softener that will help you. You need to drink plenty of water. That's another helpful tip. I have women where I tell them, drink water. They're not drinking water. They drink Kool-Aid. They drink Hawaiian Punch. They drink soda. They drink juices. All of that is full of sugar. Sugar okay. is harmful to the body.
Wow.
So just follow the advice of your physician. And like I said, if you want to question it, please do.
Okay. So I would guess that if it's harmful to the woman's body, to the mom's body, then it would be harmful to the baby too, would you say?
That is correct.
Okay. And what advice would you give to an older one? We talked about ladies at 35 years old, but what about when they get into their 40s? What advice would you give them if they want to have a baby?
I think it's the same advice.
Okay.
Healthy diet, exercise, early prenatal care. We have to couple their care with a high-risk specialist. And I think that's it. There's nothing else different. It's just those pregnancies, women age 40 and older, just will need extra prenatal visits.
Okay. I've got one last question. Boy, we're out of time here. One last question. Stress. And how harmful is that? And what advice? I mean, how, you know, a lot of people are in a lot of stress for whatever reason it is. Could be relationship, it could be finance, it could be just conditions, things of that nature. But let's talk about the harm that stress does to this this young mom or this mom to be.
Okay. So stress can be very harmful to mom and baby. Stress tends to increase your blood pressure. Mm. Blood pressure issues in pregnancy, as discussed before, can lead to preterm delivery. It can lead to abruption or the placenta tearing off before it's time to deliver. Also, stress can cause growth restrictions of a baby. Instead of the mom focusing on healthy baby, healthy mom, when women undergo stress, they tend not to eat well or even eat at all, therefore resulting in small babies. Right. And small babies tend not to, how can I put this, get enough nutrients. Therefore, we tend to see smaller babies. When they come into the office, we measure their tummies and we're like, oh no, they're not measuring correctly. We get an ultrasound. That baby could be, like I said, small for gestational age, and it also can have low fluid around it. So once again, stress can increase the infant as well as maternal mortality.
All right. Thank you, doctor. Now, before you go, how can patients contact you for services?
They can contact Celine Women's Clinic. Our number is 501-776-6249.
Yes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, at the last minute, you know, because you know, I do a lot of interviews, but never like this. And I try to do the best I can. Okay.
You did a good job.
Well, thank you very much. Ladies, thank you, doctor. It's a pleasure. I'm sure Ann will have you back.
Thanks, Ann.
Pleasure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks a lot. And thanks for tuning in. I hope I'm sure this is helpful to a lot of you ladies out there and men, you know, to help take care of your wives and things of that nature. And coming up right after this, Teens Talk Truth with AJ and Alex. Thanks again, Doctor.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't want us praising the Lord. Ha.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. They said you can rap about anything except for Jesus, right? But if I talk about God, my record won't get played, huh? God over money. This. Buckle down. We done got rich enough from giving us what's killing us. We shut it down. Give it up. You ain't feeling us. You ain't real enough. But we here now. And we ain't going nowhere. Oh yeah, got them record labels so scared. Wow, if I was y'all, I'd be petrified. Came in yelling, God over money they could never buy. I could show it, I could prove it if they ever tried. If you're sleeping on the team, boy, you hella tired. Martin Luther King had a dream and it never died. Homie, we gon' be okay. We roll with Neo, you see, homie, we don't play. He the one, don't sleep on faith. He told us G-O, so we go and we open. We open. Put your phones in the sky now.
You knew that I was down with the rock. Would you roll with me?
Roll with me.
When you find out we love Jesus, will you leave us?
They ain't all gonna stay.
Either way, we okay, cause we used to it now.
Yeah,
may not wanna stay for what we do right now. It's about to go down.
Hey! Winning if they ever catch us sinning, they be quick to put a cam on us.
Woo.
It wouldn't be my first time slipping on my last. I repented, I'm forgiven, so I dab on it.
Hey. We ain't perfect, we just dirt, so we been dirty, we ain't worthy. Oh, but he is perfect, we his servants, we will worship, he deserves it. Oh,
I'm hot now, I'm hot now. Yeah. But if he wanted, he can make it all stop now. Yeah. I can yell his name out loud. Hey, day. What if I ignore the poor and my God's child? Huh?
His love for me is really all that I need. Faith on high, pride on low, 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 low. My Savior, will he ever leave or forsake us? The answer is no, 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 no.
Put your phones in the sky now.
If you knew that I was down with the rock, would you roll with me?
Roll with me.
When you find out we love Jesus, will you leave us?
They ain't all gonna stay.
Yeah. Either way, we okay, cause we used to it now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wanna stay for what we do right now. It's about to go down.
Yeah. Yeah.